For our scripture reading this morning, we turn to the Old Testament prophet Malachi, the last of the Old Testament prophets, writing prophets. And this morning we will read Malachi 2, verses 1 through 9. And Malachi 2, 1 through 9 will constitute the text that we will look at this morning. Hear now the word of the Lord, Malachi 2, 1 through 9. And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abused before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. This truly is the word of the Lord. Now, really, the center thought in this passage would be verses 4 and 5, but we will look at the entire passage in context. Verses 4 and 5. So you shall know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. That's thus far. Congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sometimes people say that we who are members of Protestant churches no longer have priests. That's not entirely true. On the one hand, the Old Testament priesthood has ended, and the Roman Catholic priesthood is not like the Old Testament priesthood. And so some say, well, we have broken with that. Brothers and sisters, we still have a priest, but he is not Levitical. The book of Hebrews is quite clear that we have a priest yet in the church, and his name is Jesus Christ. But he is of a different order, a superior order, that of Melchizedek. And his priesthood never ends because he has a superior life. He cannot end. He always was, and he always will be, our blessed high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we look at the whole history of redemption, starting in the Old Testament, we see that God sometimes rearranges the administration of that covenant. Sometimes God can do things that are quite surprising, turning things on their heads. Let me illustrate. In Genesis 49, the patriarch Jacob, as he is dying, gives blessings to his sons, but he does not bless two sons. Simeon and Levi are named together as brothers of blood. He says, I will not countenance what they did. And the reason why they are omitted, really, from the list of sons who are blessed is because of the bloodshed that they perpetrated in Genesis 34 with the massacre of the men of Shechem. Brothers of blood, they forfeit Jacob's blessing. And yet, even though Jacob says you will be scattered, spread through Israel, God takes the tribe of Levi. And though he spreads them among the 12 tribes, makes this tribe the one responsible for his shrine. Because when Moses comes down from the mountain and he sees the Israelites engaged in idolatrous worship of a golden calf, he asks the question, who is on the Lord's side? Now remember, Moses is a Levite. And he is the one chosen to lead the people of God out of Egypt. He said, I thought Levi lost all blessing, but Moses is a Levite. And when Moses asked the question, who is on the Lord's side? Levi says, we are. We are on the Lord's side. And they strap swords to their sides and they go through the camp and they strike down those who were guilty of idolatrous worship, the worship of the golden calf. And the Lord basically says this, I like that. I like that kind of zeal. I will now set Levi aside to be the tribe that takes care of my shrine, that presents the gifts, that offers the gifts in their hands. But now when we come to Malachi 2:1, this command is for you, O priests, because you, though you were in covenant with me, did not lay it to heart. You have fallen away, and that has had serious, profoundly serious consequences for the people of God. And so this morning I want us to look at Malachi 2:1-9. To do so under the theme, the Lord continues Levi's covenant despite priestly corruption. We'll first take note of covenant, then see the corruption that has set in, the curse of God's judgment, and then finally the continuation. Now in 5-7, there is a short but complete picture of God's covenant as he had established it with Levi. And when the word Levi is used here, it's not referring to the man Levi himself, but it refers to the descendants of Levi through his son Kohath and then through Aaron. Sometimes I think when I read the Old Testament that the most fundamental office in the whole community of faith was the priest. The priesthood. Because long before there's a king, centuries before Saul and David, Aaron and his family were set aside as priests. All priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. Only Aaron's family could be priests, and that was a tremendous privilege. And you know the saying, to whom much is given, much is required. If the greatest privilege was to be servants in the very shrine of God, with the high priest actually having access to the most holy place once a year with the proper blood, what a privilege. You know, when they come into the promised land, the tribes get land. What did you get, Judah? We got the hill country in the south. Well, that's great. How about you, Ephraim? Well, we received the land that's in the center, the central highlands. That belongs to us. What did you get, Levi? We got the Lord. What land did you get? We didn't get any land. We got the Lord. The Lord was the lot. The Lord was the portion that belonged to the tribe of Levi. And Levi received him. This was actually the highest honor, the greatest privilege that any tribe could ever receive. Now, the relationship that God had with these priests was one of covenant. Now, you know, I mean, it's in your name, the name of your congregation, what covenant is. It is a relationship. It could be described as a treaty that has some advantages, not everything, but there are two sides, there are two parties. And there's responsibilities from each party in the relationship, in the treaty. And if everyone is faithful to their requirements, then there are blessings. If there is disobedience and breaking of the relationship, then punishment and curses follow. Now, God had put these priests under obligations. Boys and girls, what were the priests supposed to do? Now, probably a common answer that you might give is, well, they brought the sacrifices. And indeed, they did. They were responsible to see that the worshipers brought the proper animals for the appropriate sacrifices and that every animal was clean It had no defects. It wasn't sick or lame or blind. We read about that in chapter 1. For the priests in chapter 1 were allowing blind, lame, and sick animals. Now, sometimes the good portion was always sacrificed to the Lord. Sometimes in some sacrifices, meat could be reserved and eaten by the worshiper. But that which was the garbage, the entrails, this garbage was taken outside of the camp or outside of the city to the garbage dump, if you will, and it was burned. It had to be destroyed. It was not clean. But boys and girls, if you think that bringing sacrifices is the most important thing that a priest did, that's not quite true. If you read Deuteronomy 33, Moses' blessing upon the tribes, the first thing that is mentioned before sacrificing and burning incense, the first thing was instruction, teaching. But Pastor Vanderhard, I thought the prophets were the teachers in Israel. Well, yeah, they were. But the assigned task of teaching and bringing instruction was the priests. And therefore, the ordinary teachers in Israel were the priests. They should know the Torah so well that they could give instruction at all times to the people of God. Prophets also taught, but they were the extraordinary teachers, called up when the need was there. But the normal, ordinary teachers were priests. But that's not all that the priests did. They had to make sure that the worshipers were clean. And so there's a health dimension. There's a physical health aspect to their work. If there were difficult cases to be judged, you call upon people who were experts in the law, the priests. They helped in the judicial life of the community. And when the worship was over, number 6 tells us that the priests were to put the name of God upon the people. The Lord, Yahweh, bless you and keep you. And they led the worship, of course. They led the worship at the shrine. Pretty important for a community, isn't it? To have excellent teaching, to have concern for health, to make sure that justice and not favoritism and partiality is practiced. And then to walk away with the blessing of Yahweh. That's pretty important, isn't it? Any community needs that. And the people of God, the community of faith, needed that. All of that was in the covenant. What a beautiful covenant it was. For the Lord says in verse 5, my covenant with him was one of life and peace. But it literally says, literally, it was the covenant of the life and the peace, the shalom. Life and peace, shalom. All of the ingredients, all of the blessings necessary for wholeness, health, wealth, prosperity, well-being were there in that bond of life that God had made with Levi. Levi, the priests, lack nothing. They lack nothing with God as their portion. For when you have the Lord as your portion, when you have the Lord as your shepherd, you lack nothing. And so the priests of an earlier time actually responded in the right way. They feared God. They did teach. And by their teaching, they were able to steer people away from iniquity. For that's the purpose God gave the priests, that God be feared, that people learn the truth, and that truth, through the work of the Holy Spirit, would settle into their hearts, and they would properly fear God. For that was the calling that God had laid upon us. After all, brothers and sisters, what is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, to enjoy life, and to enjoy his shalom. Now, in this covenant with Levi, there are many obvious parallels with our own Christian faith. For the Christian faith is a covenant. God makes covenant with believers and their children, as we were reminded this morning. And that covenant is sealed by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that life bond, there's life, even abundant life. There's peace. There's wholeness. Haven't we found that to be the case? We don't experience it fully in this life, and that's frustrating for us, isn't it? We want more. Our spiritual taste buds want to be satisfied for the wholeness that lies before us, the resurrection of the body, the removal of all imperfections. God has brought you into his forever family, the church, to become a kingdom of priests. See, yes, we don't have an Old Testament priesthood, and we've broken with a Roman Catholic understanding of priesthood, but if Christ is our chief priest, our only high priest, in union with him, we enjoy the priesthood of all believers. All of you, therefore, through Jesus Christ, become messengers of his covenant. All of you are now given instruction in the truth so that we might speak this truth to this world. All of you are messengers of the Lord who can bring the life of God, the wellness of God, the justice of God, the peace of God to others around you so that people might walk in integrity and uprightness. Right? You've heard this all before, haven't you? You've heard it all before. Has this become weariness? You know, if you go back to chapter 1, the Lord says regarding his priests, look at verses 10 and 11 and several of the verses. They go through the motions of their liturgy. They go through the motions of their office. And they sniff at it. And they said, oh, this is boring. What a weariness this is. The priests to whom Malachi is speaking had found this a tiresome thing. And verses 8 and 9 spell out how the priests were acting. They had departed themselves from a covenant lifestyle of peace and uprightness. And you know, when you live in sin, you always have to come up with reasons to justify your sin. You know, we find that in our own country. If you want to allow a sinful lifestyle, you change the definitions so that things are seen in a different light. Let me illustrate that again. If abortion is the wanton destruction of a human being at that point in her or his life where she or he cannot offer any resistance, then you simply define that life as simply a collection of cells. Well, now, then certain practices now become permissible if you change the rules. About 5 decades ago, it was declared by the Supreme Court, abortion laws were struck down in all 50 states. Now, what the Supreme Court has done in recent months is not make abortion illegal. It simply says the case Roe v. Wade was flawed and therefore that decision no longer stands. Abortion is still legal in many places in America. And what does the church say to that? What truth can we bring? What instruction in God's word can we and should we be saying to our world? For who is it that gives true instruction? Who is it? Washington judges? Legislators in Springfield? Or the God of Levi's covenant? You see, the priests of Malachi's time were corrupting the rules left and right, and people's lives were becoming more and more messed up. For one should seek instruction from the lips of a priest, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The same kind of corruption threatens the church even today. For the Apostle Paul will say to Timothy, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have become seared as with an iron, a hot iron. You see, brothers and sisters, again, if we think about church history, a church, a denomination, a congregation, and even we personally can sometimes get fat on the gospel. You take it in, you receive good instruction, biblical preaching year after year, week after week, and at a certain point we say, I've heard all this before. Isn't there something new and interesting that can scratch my ears? Because my ears itch. We become distracted. And then our hearts begin to drift away. And it doesn't happen overnight. It happens very gradually. You've probably heard me say that we go when a church or a person or a denomination or whatever drifts, the first thing they wonder is, well, what do we, I'm not sure what we believe. In the second phase, they say, I don't know what we believe. In the third and more fatal phase, people might say, I don't care what we believe. But it starts with uncertainty. This is why the priests were under holy obligation to teach true instruction. You don't have to tell people to be ignorant. They can do that on their own. The priests were instructed to give the truth of the Torah. Just as today the leaders within the church and the leaders within Christian homes are under holy obligation to teach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because otherwise people start to go astray. And in their ignorance, in the simplicity of our own ignorance, all kinds of other teachings and lies start to enter in. I mean, look at the last verse of our passage, verse 9. I will make you despised and abased before the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. Justice becomes compromised when the priests are more afraid of men than they are of the Lord. But again, the Lord brings a great reversal. A great reversal. Remember how we started the whole book back in chapter 1, verse 2? Before he gets this denunciation, this command for the priests, the Lord says in chapter 1, verse 2, I have loved you. I have loved you. And therefore, even when he solidly disciplines the priests here and warns them, you've corrupted everything that you've been called to. My words are given to you in a context of love. You see, by dishonoring the Lord, the Lord will bring dishonor on them. If they were to handle the sacrifices properly, but they were not, then the Lord says, well, I will take the guts, the manure of the sacrifice and smear it on your faces, so that you, being unclean, should be taken outside the camp and burned. Your blessings will become curses. That will be my punishment. But brothers and sisters, the Lord does more than that. He does something else. He gives his people love. As I said, this is said in a context of his divine determination to stick with this people and to discipline them in his love. He starts with love. He gives his people love. Why? Look at verse 4. So that you may know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may hold, says the Lord. It will hold. But how can it be, you ask? The curse is so complete. And the curse is so dramatic as it strikes at this most fundamental of all of the offices in the Old Testament, that of the priest. So humiliating, so devastating. Blessings are reversed and the sacrifices are turned into manure. There seems to be no hope. Precisely. In this situation, there is no hope. But 400 years after Malachi, a greater priest of a greater order came to earth. No, he was not a Levite. He was not given access, humanly speaking, to the earthly shrine. But he was from the order of Melchizedek. And he possessed his office because he had an indestructible life. That's why when Christ is crucified and laid in the tomb cannot hold him. He will break it open and he will rise again from the dead. But during his earthly ministry, how did they treat him? They treated him like dung. He died where? Outside of the city, outside of the camp, like a piece of garbage. Now note well, the covenant with Levi was the life, it was the peace. And Jesus said in John 14, I am the truth, I am the way, the life, the truth. This priest took our curses upon himself, and his punishment brought us peace. His punishment brought us shalom. And by his wounds, we are healed. Isaiah 53. All of God's punishments that have been directed to every sinner. Those who are of God's elect, those punishments are directed to Christ. Fully. Freely. We didn't merit it. We didn't earn it. But he places our punishments on Christ. And that priest now dies in our place. And see, this is the amazing thing about Christianity. One of its many amazing things is not only do we have a priest who brings the sacrifice for you, he is the sacrifice. He is that sacrifice. And not only that, he then prepares a meal and says, come, eat, drink, remember and believe that I gave my body, I give my blood for a complete remission, sending away of all your sins. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. My shalom I give to you. Not like the world gives it. I really give it. And now, brothers and sisters, you who are priests and priestesses of God, you know this great priest. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is your life. He is your peace. And we are priests and priestesses who also are called upon to guard that word, instruct that word, teach that word, live out that word from our hearts. Because God says to the Levites, lay this on your heart. Take this with utmost deadly seriousness. Take it upon your heart. And whenever that thought arises, we've heard all this before. Then say, isn't that great? Isn't that great? You know, when mom serves a good meal, and you say, oh, we've had this before. Thank her. Thank her. If this food is nourishing, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Yes, we've heard this before, and we hunger and thirst to hear it more and more and again. Thank the Lord. And the results, the marvelous result will be this. By walking in peace and in uprightness, teaching people the word of the Lord with joy and truth, God will use that. And his spirit will cause them to turn to the Lord. And many people will stop their stumbling. Have you turned to him? Keep turning. Keep turning. Every day is a turning. We recognize our sin, but we see our Savior. We see the glories of his amazing grace. We are struck again by the depth of his profound love for us. That is so clear in Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true mediator. And in Christ, this covenant of the life, real life, the peace, the shalom, is not just continued, it is secured forever. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for Christ, our true and only High Priest. and that we might be united with him, called upon to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable in him. And so, Father, we thank you for Christ. We pray that his word will not only rest upon our memory, but that it will live in our souls and excite us to daily conversion, daily walking in your most holy ways for Jesus' sake. Amen.